Welcome everyone to High Performance Writer. We are here today to learn about strategies to help you produce more content quickly, easily, and consistently. And I am Nina Amir, the Inspiration to Creation Coach, and the author of the best-selling books, How to Blog a Book, the Author Training Manual, and most recently, Authorpreneur. So this is one of my favorite topics to talk about because high performance in any shape or form, in any industry, for anything you're doing, to me is so exciting because what it's about really is helping you achieve your potential. It's all about how to help you achieve your goals, be the best person you can be, be the best you, and to go out there and do the things you want to do. And in this case, that is be a writer. Now, I don't know if all of you have signed up for my November Writing Challenge, Write Nonfiction in November Challenge, also known as the National Nonfiction Writing Month. And that doesn't matter. If you have, that's great. I commend you for that. And this is a great course to support you through that so that you not only start your project, but you finish it. And if you're not doing the challenge and you're just here because you want to learn how to start and finish your projects, to complete your writing projects so that you are more successful, then you're in the right place because that is exactly what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about mindsets and habits and tips and tools to help you achieve that potential, achieve those goals so that you are writing more, that you are producing content, as I said, quickly, easily, consistently, so that when you sit down to write every day, you are crushing it, that you're not having a problem getting your work done and that you really feel great about what you're doing and because you're achieving your goals and your potential. So let's get right into our topic. 81% of Americans say that they want to write a book. But why is it that only 2% actually accomplish that goal? I think that the first reason is that the majority of aspiring authors don't want to achieve the status of successful author badly enough to actually take action. And for that reason, they don't actually manifest their dreams. Second, I think that they don't do what it takes to write their books. And that lack of motivation, possibly organization or energy to actually carry through on their desire, ends up making them feel that they can't do it for some reason. So, if you've not written your nonfiction book, you probably fall into one of these two categories. And it could be you're on this call and you write fiction, and that's okay because everything I'm going to talk about relates to fiction and nonfiction writing. It's just that I know some of you are taking my nonfiction challenge, so that's why I mentioned that. Anyway, I'm going to assume since you are taking this class that you have a strong enough desire to write your book, that you actually are willing to take some action, because I don't think you'd be here. I don't think you would have signed up for the course if you didn't have that amount of desire. But maybe at this moment you feel like I did at one point in my life, that you're frustrated with your past level of performance and your past level of achievement, and you really are ready to make a change because you just don't want to stay stuck and you don't want to start one more writing project only to have it be left half-finished. It could be that you're blogging and you don't want your blog to be one of the many, many blogs that are left to die a very fast death on the internet when the blogger, the writer, loses interest or loses energy to sustain it, to keep blogging over time. Or maybe, you've started books in the past and they're just partly finished. You got into it a few chapters and you quit. Or maybe you're like one of my clients who she is great at creating the structure and the outline for a book, but she doesn't ever get past that. her fears get in the way. It could be that you want to write articles and you're not getting those, you know, maybe you get them written and you never get them submitted. Whatever the case is, if you were like me, I felt frustrated by that sense of just never finishing what I started. I want to tell you just a little bit about myself and my journey to changing that sense of frustration and that history of not finishing things, at least not finishing my writing projects. I've been working at my career as an author, or my career as an aspiring author, I guess I should say, for about 8 years when I reached a tipping point. I had published some short books, some booklets along the way because, you know, I wanted to become an author. I was told I needed to build author platform, you know, the built-in readership that comes from speaking and social networking and all of that, this built-in readership that's there so that when you say, I have a book that's been published, you have people who follow you and know you, and they buy the book, and they help make it successful. So I was out there, and I was building platform, and I actually had a literary agent. I mean, I had done a lot of the right things, right? I had blogs. I had several blogs. I was on all the social networks, and I had actually created these short booklets that I was selling at the back of the room when I went out to speak. And I had done that so I could call myself an author, but I didn't have what I really wanted, which was a traditional publishing deal. My first literary agent had not managed to sell anything for me. I actually had gotten a contract for a book that wasn't really in a genre that I typically wrote in. It wasn't really something that interested me so much, but I got this book contract, and that fell through at the last minute. And I even got a second agent for that book, but that book still didn't sell, and so I didn't become a traditionally published author with that. Despite what I thought was going to happen. And I had a new literary agent, and my books still weren't selling, or my book ideas, I should say, my book proposals. And I was very frustrated because, in addition, I had, along the way, started many books. Matter of fact, my booklets were based on longer books that I had started writing. I had written book proposals for them, and then I had written short, these condensed versions that I could sell, as I said, when I went to speak. But most of these projects were unfinished. They were long books that were, you know, full-length books that weren't getting done. And every time I wrote a new book proposal, the old book idea went by the wayside, not for lack of desire to write it, but just because I went on to the next thing. I had lots of ideas. I would get bored. I would go on to the next thing, you know, and these just, they were piling up. The ideas were piling up, and I was losing interest in some of them. Actually, you know, I said not for lack of interest, but or desire. But what would happen is over time, you know, I would go on to other things, and those first ideas were no longer so relevant to me. You know, I still wanted to write them, but they weren't so relevant to my life anymore. And so I was getting really worried that I would never get to write them, that this was never going to happen for me. And I got very, very frustrated one day. And I looked at everything I was doing and how much time I was spending. And a shift happened. And I got so upset, and I just looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, I refuse to fail. I don't care what else happens. One way or another, I'm going to become a published author. I refuse to fail. What happened in that moment was that I changed my attitude about a lot of the things I was doing. It wasn't that I hadn't been building platform before, for instance. I had been, as I said, for about 8 years. But when I made the decision that there was no way I was going to fail, I wasn't going to give up, I was going to find some way to do this, I began to approach some of the activities necessary to become a successful author in a different way, with a different attitude. So for instance, I took on social networking with a new attitude. Instead of approaching it as something I had to do, I began to do it as one thing that was getting me to my ultimate goal, as an activity that got me to my ultimate goal. So it began to be something that was very on purpose for me. It wasn't just something I had to do. It was something I wanted to do because it was one more thing that would help me get where I wanted to go. It was on purpose. My purpose was to become an author. There were other reasons why I wanted to become an author, but that was my goal, and this was one step I had to take to get there. So maybe you have also said, you know, something like that, I refuse to fail, or I will become an author, or, you know, there's no way I'm giving up, and that's great, good for you. That type of shift motivates you, gets you jazzed, it renews your commitment, and, you know, maybe it reminds you of your purpose. And that purpose isn't just to become an author. It may be to help others, to share your message, to inspire people, to create enough wealth via your writing that you can give to charities or do charitable work, or, you know, to create a movement or to heal the earth. Lots of reasons that we write. And, you know, you can make a decision in a moment to change. You can say, I refuse to fail and I will do whatever it takes. I will change how I approach my writing. I will change how I approach my social networking. I will change how I approach my platform building. I will change how I approach how I write. I will change how I approach my book. I will change. You can decide that in a moment, but that doesn't mean that change happens in that moment. Many of us know that that's true. You may probably know that that's true. You may have decided to change on New Year's Eve, for instance. You made a resolution and nothing happened. Why is that? It's because it takes work and commitment and it takes time to change. You have to chunk away at it. Transformation takes time. Personal growth takes work and moment-to-moment commitment to change. And what we're talking about here really is personal growth, personal development, changing yourself so that you can become a high-performance writer. And that takes a high level of intention, a high level of initiative and commitment. So you have to really ask yourself, do you have these things? Do you have commitment, initiative? Do you have intention, motivation? How willing are you to do the work of changing so that you develop this high motivation, this high performance? Are you really willing? Because willingness is very important. In my book, The Author Training Manual, I talk about something called an author attitude, and willingness is one of the major components of that attitude because we have to be willing to do what it takes. And change is very difficult for most of us. I don't want to put that out there as a negative meme for you to have, oh, it's so difficult to change. We can change, you know, that moment we decide, but it's that little things we do daily that are going to actually transform our lives and transform us into this high-performance author, high-performance writer. For me, the little changes I've made over time have helped me to, you know, just to conclude my story, helped me to change agents once again. But before that, it allowed me to produce two best-selling books. Most recently, I've been churning out ebooks with my new literary agent. I do assisted self-publishing. I've had two more best-selling ebooks, and I'm releasing another tomorrow. Two ebooks in 6 days, actually. So, you know, it's allowed me to know how to focus. Now, I can't tell you that every day my performance is exactly where I want it to be. You know, sometimes we teach what we need to learn most. And I would say there are many days every week when I feel like I've really crushed it and my performance is high, but it can always be higher. And some of the things that I'm going to teach you now are things that I am still working on, that I still struggle with. But I know that these are the keys. These are the keys to being a high performer. These are the tools and tips that any person who is successful is going to tell you they use. I have heard them tell me that this is what they do. These are the tips and tools that they use to become highly productive, to become high performers. So with all that said, let's take a look at that. Let's look at high-performance habits for writers. And these are both habits and tools that you can do, things that require activities, and some that require mindset, require you really becoming conscious of how you think and how you feel every day, how you choose to show up. So if you're going to write a book in a month, which some of you are doing, or you're taking on any kind of a writing project in a month, possibly a nonfiction writing project in a month, or you know, for this month of November, or if you're doing that at any time of the year, or if you just want to produce more, you need to employ the habits that are used by high performers. And again, it doesn't have to be that you're trying to do this to create something in a month, but if you're trying to increase your production of written works, here are 20 different habits that you can employ now or at some other time, and they are going to help you achieve your goals. So here we go. Number one, prepare your mind and body. Your mind responds to how you take care of your body. So you need to take care of yourself. You have to eat a good diet. You have to drink a lot of water, and you have to exercise and sleep enough. Now, I fall down on this. I have to admit it. I eat pretty well. I take great supplements. I try to drink a lot of water, but I'm not great at drinking a lot of water. I try to sleep enough. There are periods when I don't sleep enough. I fall down on the exercise one. I let work get in the way of exercise. I am working on that one. But I am telling you, if you drink a lot, you exercise, you eat well, and you sleep, it is going to help your productivity enormously. Also, try not to drink alcohol or caffeine. These actually are deterrents to productivity. You're better off taking a nap or, you know, finding foods that will help you boost your energy level. You're going to write with more clarity if you feed your mind what it needs. Number two, take frequent breaks. This is another one I, too, have to consciously remind myself of all the time. Studies show that those who take frequent breaks outperform those who work for hours on end without stopping. Get up from your computer and get a drink of water. Stretch or go for a walk around the block twice every hour, or at a minimum once every 50 minutes. You know, there have been lots of different techniques that have come out. There was the Pomodoro technique, which you know had you set your alarm for 25 or 30 minutes, and then you would get up, and for 5 or 10 minutes, you went and did something else, whether it was pet the cat, pull some weeds in your garden, something like that. These studies show that our brains function better for shorter periods of time. But you're going to have to test this out and decide whether you need to go for 30 minutes or 50 minutes, whatever it is, but take breaks. Number three, set your daily priorities. A lot of people forget to do this. Know what you need to get done and stick to those priorities. Now, as a writer, that may mean your daily word count. That might be your priority. Okay, that you know you are going to work on your book or your article or essay or whatever it is, you know, that is your priority, is to work on that, and that you have to write 1,000 words or 500 words or whatever it is, or maybe it's that you have to write a chapter a day. You don't do anything else until you meet that goal. That is your first priority, and that is what gets done. There is no surfing the internet, no calling your mom, no checking your email or Facebook. This is your priority. Which brings us to number four, which is leave your email until later. Don't check your email first thing in the morning or right before you begin to write. I got to admit, I struggle with this one because I have some customer service issues that come up, and you know, I have a couple people who work for me, and my team sometimes needs me first thing in the morning. Some of them are in other countries. So this is an issue for me, but I highly recommend this because if you go to your email first thing in the morning, it distracts you from your priority, which is writing. It also allows other people to dictate how you spend your time. If you go into your email box first, you may discover that somebody needs you to do something. Matter of fact, two or three people may need you to do something, and before you know it, 3 hours have gone by and you have not written a word. So you want to focus on what you want to do and what you want to accomplish rather than on what others want you to do and to accomplish, at least first thing in the morning, and get to that email later. Number five, use a daily to-do list or productivity planner of some sort. I use a mind map. That mind map helps me keep track of everything. It helps me sort through things, and I use it to create a to-do list. And I sort the to-do list by priority, by day, by week, by month. You may want to, you know, do it on a calendar or some other way. I'm a big fan of Brendon Burchard's work. I have also used his, he has a one-page productivity planner. I have used that as well. Sometimes I use that in conjunction with my to-do list on my mind map. Whatever you choose, you want to stick to it. And again, this is a matter of, you know, you have this to-do list or your productivity planner or whatever you're using, you don't want to sway from it. That is what you're relying on when I say, you know, set your priorities and stick to them. This is where they live, and you don't want to do anything else first. You want to do what's on that list. You want to you don't want to go to the internet or to your mailbox because it's going to distract you. You know, only go to the email or the internet if you have to achieve your goals, if it's going to be part of your daily priorities, because we know what happens when we do that. We get lost there. Number six, use time blocking. Set time blocks for your writing. That means schedule them in blocks. You can do this for other activities as well. So you might have a time block for checking email or for social networking and platform building or for anything else you do. If you're a coach or you run a business or whatever it is, block time for different activities. Nothing else happens in that time block other than what you said you were going to do. So if the first thing you do in the morning is writing, that, you know, if that's that time block, that's all that happens then. Have an intention for that time or, you know, for that time block also. So if you, you know, what is it you plan to accomplish during that time? What is that intention? That's going to help you achieve your purpose or your goal during that time. So maybe it's how much you're going to write. You know, do you have a word count to fulfill or a chapter you want to get done? Whatever it is, have an intention for that time block. Number seven, turn off the internet when you write. During that time block when you are writing, the internet gets turned off completely. As I said, we all know what happens when we stop to check our email or to see what the Facebook message was that just came in, or even to go to the internet to do some research for our book. We get lost there, sometimes for hours. You know, we click on something, and then there's a video, and we watch the video, and then that leads us somewhere else. And before, you know, 3 hours have gone by, and we didn't write anything, all in the name of research. It doesn't work. So you have to turn off the internet for those periods of time when you're writing. And there are great programs for this, like Antisocial, Self-Control. These are actual programs. One is called Antisocial with a dash, Self-Control, one word, Write or Die, three words, and Stay Focused, one word. These are all programs that will help you turn off the internet while you write. If you need to do research in that time, what you want to do is just put a bracket. So you're writing and suddenly you say, oh, I need research. Put brackets and just say research here and come back to it later. Do not go to the internet. Number 8, have a routine. Most successful people and high performers have a routine of some sort. You need to create one for yourself. What will you do every single day and in what order? Try to stick to this. You know, sometimes I struggle with this one. But it's so good when you can have a routine and stick to it every day. So you have to decide, will you exercise first and meditate and read something inspirational and then sit down and write? Or are you going to go straight to your computer in the morning and start to write? And then when you've done your writing, then will you exercise, meditate, check your email? What is it? Plan out your day and make a rule for yourself that this is how your day looks every day. Of course, there'll be some exceptions to the rule, but for the most part, you want to have a routine. Successful people will tell you that that routine really helps them succeed. And when their day doesn't go that way, when their routine gets messed up, they're not as productive. That it sort of throws everything in the air. Okay, number 9, master your thoughts. Now we're into mindset. Negative thinking and limiting beliefs are a surefire way to get you off track when you write. I was just speaking to a client. She was telling me, that she can't get herself to sit down and write. You know, she thinks that her writing won't be good enough. She's not sure if anyone will ever read what she writes. This is so common. So these negative thoughts and limiting beliefs, they make you feel inadequate, and they wreck your self-confidence, and they make you unable to accomplish your goals. So you have to become more conscious of what you're thinking. Sometimes just paying attention to how you feel will help you become conscious of what you're thinking, because our thoughts actually generate our feelings. So if you're feeling anxious, depressed, worried, pay attention to what you're thinking. You may need to take up a meditation practice to become more conscious of your thoughts, and that is always a good thing to do. Actually, meditation is one of the things, I didn't put this on the list, so it could be number 21. Most of the high-performing people that I speak to these days meditate. In any case, pay attention to your thoughts, and when you find your mind filled with messages that make you feel badly about yourself in some way or about your writing, you need to start learning how to change those thoughts to positive, affirming ones instead. Remember that, or if you didn't know this, keep in mind that 70% of your potential is in your control because it involves controlling your mind. Optimistic and positive people actually succeed more than negative people. Negative people tend to see things that happen for instance, if somebody criticizes their writing or they get a rejection from an editor, or an agent, let's say, they see that as something inherently wrong with them or inherently wrong with their work, and that there's nothing they can do to change it. So they get stuck. It's an obstacle they don't see that they can overcome. Whereas an optimistic person sees the same rejection from the agent as not something inherently wrong with them or their work, but something that can be changed or altered. They see that they can create change in themselves, in their work, with their writing, and so that's what they set out to do. They see it as just another challenge or an opportunity to move closer to succeeding, to achieving their goal. So that's why it's very important to master your thoughts and to learn to be more optimistic. Number 10, choose who you want to be every day. You get to choose how you show up every day. Nobody else chooses it for you. Your circumstances don't choose it for you. You are not a victim of your circumstances or of your thoughts or of your feelings. You know, if your boyfriend dumps you or you owe the IRS $4,000 or you, you know, had a fight with your mom or you got a rejection letter, you can still choose to bring joy, focus, and concentration to your writing periods. You have the ability to determine how you feel and who you want to be in every moment. You have to decide, do you want to be depressed or worried? And now I'm not talking about people who are clinically depressed, okay? But in general, you have that choice. Would you want to be joyous and confident? Choose. And then choose again and again and again in every moment. Again, this is not, you know, I said we can choose to change in a moment, but transformation takes time. This is one of those cases where you have to choose every moment how you are going to show up, how you are going to feel. Think of yourself like a potter. You can let the clay sit there in a lump and do nothing with it, or you can decide what that clay will be, and you are the clay. But you have to make the decision about to turn the wheel, right, the potter's wheel, and to craft that clay into something. And every day, every hour, every moment, you are then creating yourself in that way. If you stop the wheel turning, you stop generating the energy, the emotion, the thoughts that you desire to make yourself into whatever it is you want to make yourself. And you will stay in that form. Brendan Burchard, best-selling author, says that a power plant doesn't have energy. It generates it. That's how he explains it. So you have to decide what you want to generate every day. What type of person will you create yourself into each day? And that determines what you create in your day. So number 11 is to show up. Every day you need to show up as that person you want to be with that energy and attitude and mindset that you want to have, the one you chose. So no matter what happens, you have to show up and be effective in that situation. So you can't hide. If you want to be a high-performance writer, this is about really showing up and fulfilling your purpose and being the person you want to be. So when you make that decision, you have to be there every day saying, this is who I want to be, and I will show up, and no matter what, I will be that person. Again, it's chunking away at it day by day. Number 12, protect your confidence. Don't put yourself in situations that might cause you to question your ability to write a book in a month, for instance, if that's what you're doing. You know, if you're taking the Write Nonfiction in November Challenge or the National Nonfiction Writing or National Fiction Writing Month Challenge, you know, don't tell your friend or your mother, who's very critical, that you're writing a book. If she's going to say there's no way that you can write a book, you're not good enough, you know, you're crazy to try. Because all that's going to do is stop you in your tracks. It's going to make you doubt whether you are good enough. You don't show your manuscript after just 1 week of writing to some friend of yours who thinks they're a book editor, but they're not. Because they're going to return it to you bleeding red ink because they want to prove that they know what they're doing. You have to be very careful that you don't do something that wrecks your confidence and makes it impossible for you to achieve your goal. You want to make sure that you're not putting yourself in a position where others are influencing you, and then you give up because before you're even halfway through your project. So if you need to just write, for instance, and not edit, so your inner critic doesn't start telling you how badly you write, because many of us have an inner critic who does that, then don't bother rereading, editing, or revising before you meet your goal of having finished the book. So I want you to hear that. If you have a very strong inner critic who tells you you're not good enough, your work won't be good enough, you can't write, if that's what stops you from finishing your projects or even starting your projects, then you have to not do any rereading, editing, or revising until you have finished your first draft. Protect your confidence at all costs. Number 13, have clarity about your goal. Know why you're writing your nonfiction book in a month or however long you're taking. Again, I'm assuming a lot of you are doing this in a month. Understand your motivation and your ambition behind this. Once you do that, once you know why you're doing it, once you know your ambition, you're going to find it easier to sit down at your desk each day. Choose your purpose. Know your big why behind writing this book. I mean, do you know that? Do you know why you want to write this book, really? And don't think that your purpose is necessarily going to just find you. You might not just know your purpose or discover your purpose. You might have to choose it. It might pertain to your passions and your goals and your big dreams and ambitions. So you have to have clarity about those goals. And then you can determine what your purpose is, and you can get clearer about your ambition. And that ambition is going to move the needle on your productivity. That means that you have to know what you desire, what you want, and how you want to serve or what you want more of. You may want more money or more stuff or success or expert status, or a bestseller. But under that, what you probably want is more freedom to do what you want, to write what you want, to love who you want, to give to whatever charity you like, to pursue your desires, to be yourself, to fulfill your potential. So really think about your goals and your ambitions and get clear on what it is you want, on that big why. Have a big vision of what you're trying to achieve and know why you want to achieve it. Understand what it's going to accomplish for you, because that's going to help you get where you're going. And take those little steps. Number 14, be on purpose. You need to determine if every activity that you take on during the day is on purpose with your goal. And in this case, your goal is to write your book or to finish your writing project for the month. For every activity or opportunity that comes up during the day, you need to ask if it's helping you achieve what you want to achieve. So let's say that just in general, if it's not that, you know, during the, this particular month, and, you know, in this month, again, I'm assuming in this month you're trying to write a book in 30 days. Let's assume it's during the year. And, you know, you have other writing projects that you're doing, maybe another book, or you have articles, and you have a greater goal for yourself as an author, an umbrella picture, you know, a big picture view of who you want to be and where you're going. So for every activity for that, you have to ask yourself, is this on purpose with where I'm going? It's the same with the book in a month, or the book you're writing this month, or during this course. You have to ask yourself, is the activity I'm doing on purpose? Is it getting me where I want to go? Does it align with my purpose? When somebody says to you, you know, let's go out to the bar tonight, does that align with your purpose? Is it helping you get where you want to go? When somebody says, you want to watch Law and Order tonight, is that helping you get where you want to go? Does it align with your purpose? Be on purpose. Number 15, do the most important things first. This goes back to things like email and social networking. It's important to answer those emails and build platform, of course, but be sure you get your writing done first. It goes back to those priorities. And, you know, I have this here again because it's, you have to really determine what is important. And I've mentioned, I'm coming back to it again because I've mentioned so many things. I said take care of yourself, you know, have your priority, you know, do your writing first, all those, all of that. So you have to look at that and say, what is the most important? I now know what my purpose is. How do I align all of this? And how do I make sure that I am doing the most important things first? So you have to learn how to judge that. And I bring it up here again because what tends to happen is we leave the most important things, which are sometimes the hardest things, to last. I know that I am at fault of doing this quite often, and that is to take the thing that seems the hardest or the scariest and doing that last. And I really probably should have called this item, number 15, do the hardest things first. So maybe we should change number 15 to do the hardest things first. Because I really think it is our tendency to move away from the things we fear towards the things that feel more comfortable. And that does not help us achieve our goals. It does not help us become a high-performing writer. We want to really tackle the things that are the hardest, the first, and to not let our fears get in the way. Because once we can get through the harder things, the harder parts of our writing, and sometimes the hardest part of our writing is just starting. I had a client today who talked about that the hardest part for her was starting. Then we get in the flow. Then we can really begin being productive because we've moved past that obstacle for us. So number 15, do the hardest things first. Number 16, create a restart button. So this is going to help you stop the process in your mind that holds you back when external situations seemingly get in the way. I don't want you to get depressed because you aren't reaching your goals, or you feel like your vision of where you want to go is too grand and too hard to get to, or too far away and hard to achieve. Instead, I want you to get fired up and to feel joyous and excited about moving towards your goals. I don't want you to have, you know, your car break down and have that ruin your day, or to discover that you your bank account was overdraft and have that take 2 hours out of your day because you're mad at yourself. I don't want that to happen. I want you to be constantly able to reset yourself so that you are not stuck in some sort of emotional place that isn't helping you. So your restart button could be a word. I mean, there are people who have something on their wrist they snap. It could be a word. It could be a 30-minute jog or a 10-minute meditation period or a bit of qigong or a nap or playing catch with your dog. It's something that's going to bring you back to center and remind you of your purpose and remind you of how you decided you were going to show up. Okay, so you have to come up with that. You determine your restart button. You have to figure out what's going to help you get back to center and get back to that place of knowing, you know, that you know you're in the moment and everything is okay and you are back to how you want to show up and being on purpose. Number 17, bring energy to your day and to your writing periods. Wake up every morning and create a heightened state of energy so you approach the day or the times when you write in particular with joy and with enthusiasm. Now, you can do this with mind exercises or with body movements, with music or self-talk, but whatever you do, don't sit down to write feeling tired, bored, or in any way low energy, or just like, I have to do this, I must do it, you know, it's just, I got to do it. That is not going to help you in any way, shape, or form. You know, some people like to exercise first for this reason, or to meditate first. That's what you know, does it for them. Other people chant. Some people like to, you know, do all those things. You know, they'll meditate, they'll exercise, they'll read inspiring books, you know, all before they write. You just have to figure out how it is that you're going to bring that energy to your day and to your writing periods. And that is going to help you be more high performance, more productive. Number 18, realize that fears aren't real. Now, this gets back to mindset again, to limiting thoughts, limiting beliefs. Maybe some of you have heard the saying that fears are false evidence appearing real. Physical safety is one area where fear actually, you know, fear actually pertains to this. So real fear is when our physical safety is in danger. That is fear. We have reason to fear when a tiger is pursuing us or we see a car running a red light and heading for us. These are reasons to have fear. Our physical safety is in jeopardy. However, we typically tend to say that we're afraid of something when we are concerned about our emotional safety or comfort. It's an excuse to not do something because we're afraid we won't feel emotionally safe or comfortable. That means that most fear has more to do with our ego than anything else, about how we'll be perceived, or how we're going to feel afterwards, or you know, anything like that, you know, whether we're going to be less confident or somebody's not going to like us. So that makes it a mind management issue. It's an internal issue, and you have to become conscious of your thoughts and how they control your behavior. You have to be conscious of every time that you say, I'm afraid, or you feel yourself feeling something that you would call fear. And you have to become very conscious of when these sorts of things stop you from writing. So you have to watch your thoughts to see if some kind of so-called fear is stopping you from beginning to write, telling you that you might be judged or aren't good enough, that you'll fail. Any of these kinds of thoughts or limiting beliefs, I am not good enough, you know, I'll be rejected. These things we call fears, fear of success, fear of failure, they are not fears. and you can choose to focus on something more positive. You can choose to focus, instead of on the negative outcome, on a positive outcome. And that's what you should be doing. So I want you to realize that fears aren't real, and to choose to focus on the positive outcome instead of on the negative one. Number 19, combine passion with purpose. This is when you really get inspired. When you can discover what you're passionate about and write about something you're passionate about and have a purpose for doing that, you are going to feel inspired. And that inspiration is going to move you forward more often than anything else. So I highly recommend that if you want to be a high-performing writer, that you find a topic about which you feel passionate, and that you get very clear, as I've already mentioned, about your purpose, and that you combine the two, and you will feel inspired. And when you feel inspired, you will take inspired action. And that is number 20. Our final item is take inspired action. Do something and make yourself do something that you feel inspired to do. If you don't feel inspired to write your book, the likelihood is you're not going to write it. So I recommend that you pick topics to write about that inspire you. And the way to do that is to combine your passion and your purpose. You will then have the motivation to take action, and you want to take action and be accountable for that action. So that's why, like November, when everybody is writing novels in a month and nonfiction books in a month and articles in a month and essays in a month, it's such a wonderful thing because there's a deadline and people are accountable to the whole group that is doing this for completing their work. So decide to take action and set a deadline for when you will complete the first draft of your manuscript, the first draft of your book, the first draft of your article or essay, and then schedule time into your calendar for writing so you meet that deadline. Create those time blocks, put them on your calendar, schedule time for you and for your writing, and don't create a deadline that's a year or two from now. You want to push yourself to get your work done, which is why we have these book in a month challenges or events. And, you know, in terms of inspired action, it's very easy, or maybe not easy, but you can get in touch with yourself through meditation or just by taking a moment to, in the same way that you ask yourself, is this on purpose? You can ask yourself, what is my next inspired action that I should take? You know, and just get in touch with your intuition. You will know what your next inspired action is. So to write a book in a month to become an author, you need to learn these high-performance habits and mindsets. If you're struggling to become an author or to become a career writer or to have a career as a writer and you're having a hard time finishing any book project, then your current habits likely are not helping you achieve your goal. Your current habits or your current mindsets are not helping you achieve that goal. And that means you need to adopt new ones, especially if you want to meet a 30-day deadline for changing your status as a writer, but even if you want to change your status all year long so that you are producing more content quickly, easily, and consistently. So if you put even a few of these 20 new habits or mindsets to work, you're going to find yourself more productive every day. And that means your manuscript will start taking shape faster than you thought possible. It's going to mean that you have that first draft of your book completed by the end of November if you are taking on a challenge this month. And it's going to mean that every day all year long you're crushing it. You are producing tons of work because you're going to know how to focus. You're going to know how to use your purpose, your passion, your inspiration, your motivation, your ambition, your vision, your thoughts, all of that to help you achieve your goals and to churn out the work. So I am going to stop now. It's been not quite an hour since we started a little late, and I am going to open up for questions. We do have an hour coaching session at the very end of the month, actually the very beginning of December, so that you have the month to do your writing and to get all the tips and videos that I'm going to be sending you. But I'm going to take just maybe 10 minutes to see if anyone has some questions. So if you do, hit *6, and I will unmute you in order to ask your question. So just hit *6 if anybody has a question. Hello.
Hi, this is Deborah. I was wondering, at what point do you worry about the Arthur platform while you're trying to develop these habits? Or is that too soon? I mean, should you be writing on your book and then using these habits and then trying to develop an Arthur platform, or should you wait on that?
No, you really need to be writing, working on your author platform at the same time. Are you writing nonfiction, Deborah?
Attempting, yes.
Yes, okay. So don't say attempting. You are.
Okay.
There's your
yes,
first
I'm
mindset
writing nonfiction.
Issue. for nonfiction in particular, you really need to have a platform if you want to be traditionally published. For every book, platform is enormously important to have to create a successful book. So, you know, and Seth Godin, the marketing expert, marketing guru, and best-selling author, you know, he said, I think, that, you know, you should be starting your platform 2 or maybe it was 3 years before your book is ever released. I think as soon as you have the idea for a book, you should be building platform for, you know, in that market for your book. Mm-hmm. So what you have to do is you have to block time for that as well. So the book needs to get written, so you write, and then you have a time block for platform building. And because you're going to be using social networking, it may be that you have a time block for that several times during the day. I mean, that's what I do, is I may work for a while and then, as a way to, give myself a break, I will, maybe go on Facebook and Twitter and, check things. Or I have some tools I use like TweetDeck, and so it may be that, there's a certain time during the day where I open up TweetDeck and I use it for my social networking and to help build platform. And after my blog posts, publish, I may be sharing those. And so these are things you can definitely do with time blocking.
Okay, great.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Okay, great. Thanks. Okay, well then, if no one has a question, then we will call it a night. Remember that you will be getting information via email. You'll be getting your tips and tools and inspiration via email twice a week, and then you will also get another email once a week with the link to your video tip. So all of that will be starting next week, and then we will convene again for a coaching session on December 2nd. And please do bring your questions to that, as well as any issues or concerns that have come up over the course of the month with completing your project. And I will be sending you the link for the private Facebook group as well, and you can chat there and ask questions there. So that will be posted later today. Thank you all for being on the call. This is Nina Amir, Inspiration to Creation Coach. Now go out and achieve more inspired results as high-performance writers.